So today is February 13th, and I have the honor of having and seeing and in a moment hearing Peter Redding, MBA, MCC, and I would give Peter all the letters of the alphabet, A to Z.
I don't think it's still recording.
It's not on Zoom. I have a personal recorder that is not listened to.
Okay.
And everyone needs to hear that, so this is not available except to you when you listen to this recording.
Got it.
So Peter has his first 37 years he described as what external people told him what to do, to learn, to work, to behave. We know that, right? But the last 37 years, Peter has learned who he was, who he is, created to be and do, from whom? His creator, our creator. And mostly he follows this internal guidance these days. He's the co-founder with the seven of us who created the profession of personal and professional coaching. And his huge contribution was developing our competencies. Now, we couldn't have a profession without competencies, right? 80% of what we learn is about the competencies. He is the owner of Coach for Life Institute, exploring coaching mastery since 1996. And he's the co-founder of ACTO. Ooh. His website is www.peterjredding.com. I will put it in the chat, or actually one of you do that. Here we go. It is www.peterjredding.com. It's a very good website. I suggest you go. It's a good model. He works with the world changing leaders, advocates, and visionaries who are compelled to inspire not dozens, not hundreds, not thousands, millions. Peter has a big goal. He is also founder of Core Selfie. I will put that into the chat as well. And this is a mission to support not a million people, but a billion people to know who they were created to be. And it is quite an honor to have Peter here with us, learning how to support your coaching client to know thyself. Thank you for being here, Peter.
Wow, that's a privilege. Thank you, Terry. I'm awestruck by where coaching is and the time that has elapsed that Terry and I have known each other, admired each other's work, co-collaborated at a very high level in the early stages of ICF and thereafter. I'm convinced more now than I was 26 years ago when I got into this profession that was not even a profession at that stage. It's like we didn't have competencies, we didn't have ethics, we didn't know what we were doing. But spiritually, we did know what we were doing. We were called to support people to have a better life that were conscious enough to want that. There was lots of professional people, there still are, for people that are sick, that are ailing, that have been abused, that need therapy, that need consulting, that need teaching, that need parenting, etc. And we don't replace any of those, as all of you well know. What didn't exist in 1996 was where do healthy people go to get their support? So traditionally, they went to their mentors at work, you know, the elders. You've been in this business for the last 30 years. What can you share with me that I need to know to navigate my career path? All well and good. And coaching was even more than that. Coaching was the idea of how do we develop the human being? How do we support them spiritually without being a rabbi or a priest or a chaplain, but to have them reconnect with that, what I call now call the core self. One of my students many years ago in India, when I was traveling in India before COVID, we go through an exercise, and I'll share a little bit about that exercise perhaps in the time that we have together today. But at the end of that exercise, we had him articulate, as I've done now thousands of times, and my students tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of times with their clients, on one piece of paper, their core values, not their generation's values, not their sexuality values, not their age values, their educational values. That's external value systems. Not all bad. But I'm talking about the inner core of the human spirit. The second thing that they get in touch with on this piece of paper, articulated by themselves in their own words, is their life purpose. Why are you here? What contribution are you here that you uniquely can provide and need to provide in order for you to serve those people that you're here to serve? Now, for some, it might be one person. It might be that mom that brings up a child or a grandma that brings up the grandchild to be a beautiful human being and to manifest that magnificence in a arena that doesn't promote that. The third thing is core strengths. Not competency strengths that you've learned and you've, you know, put in 10 years of energy to become a good lawyer or even a good doctor or a good whatever. But there's core strengths that I believe that my creator said, okay, Peter, here's the work I've got set up for you to do. Here's your purpose. Now you need a couple of things. You're going to need some tools to work with. I'm going to give you all of those tools that you need to fulfill your life purpose. Cool. Thank God. Appreciate it. Now, I may not be aware of that, and I wasn't until 37, because I developed a whole bunch of other things. I had to be lost by it. Now, as a chief financial officer for a small entrepreneurial company, I hate finances. I hate bookkeeping. I hate balancing anything on a checkbook, let alone being the chief financial officer of, you know, anyhow. So it's not necessarily the things that I've learned that and that I've gotten good at. It's tools that I've been provided with from my creator. And do I even know that I have them? Or have they been, again, shielded, dissipated, frowned upon by my environment growing up and saying, no. We don't allow artists in our family. Everybody knows that they're poor. You know, we don't want any poor people in our family, right? Or we don't like musicians, or we don't like this, or we don't like that. No. You're going to become a doctor like daddy is, or you're going to become an engineer like your daddy is. Or wanted to be, but couldn't go. And now we've got the wherewithal to educate you. And you have the brilliance. We know the aptitude to be a good engineer. Okay. So now we have lots of engineers and are miserable at 35 years old. So there's been a very distinct separation for me. At 37, I had either a breakdown or an awakening, kind of all, you know, collapsed into a, you know, midlife crisis, which is not uncommon. I look back and see all the students and I tell my story at 37 and I get about half the class that raised their hand. Yep, me too. All right. Yes, I'm going through it right now. So who are you? And who's the you you're talking about? Now, the ICF, and all of its wisdom, has kind of classified holistic coaching in terms of supporting a client's what, what's going on, the situation, the problem, the goal, the challenge, what is the client wanting to move towards, et cetera, the what. Got it. Perfectly fine. But they've also now included the who. My question is, whose who are we talking about? I'll say that slower. Whose who are we talking about? And is even the client aware of that they're talking about? I'm 99% of the population that I've interacted with in my lifetime don't know who they really are. They just don't. They know who they've been told to be by their parents, by their educators, by their organizations, by their culture, by their sexuality, by their where they live in the world. And we call that socialization. So people wake up at 25, 35, 40 and say, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've gotten the education I am supposed to have received. I've got the job. Why am I miserable? What is something missing inside of me? So we've gone from a hole, W-H-O-L-E-ness at birth, that is whole, perfect, and complete. You know, I'm sure you've all heard that from Terry. But now it starts getting foggy, clouded, covered up with all the things I'm supposed to be as a male, Caucasian, baby boomer, American, educated, healthy person. And that carries all kinds of stuff. What my job is, what I see my job is as an educator and as a coach, is to remind my clients, my students, of who they really are, that they have since forgotten. And it's also not to lambast or shame or put down all the things that you are now that you've learned from the externals, because they're not all bad. My parents, I always say this, my parents didn't wake up each morning and say, okay, so what do we need to do to Peter today so he needs therapy at 37? They didn't do that. They wanted the best for me. They loved me. And they were equipped. The only thing that they were equipped with was what got handed down from the generations of we as, I'm part German, part Irish, part Luxembourgian is my DNA. We come from healthy stock of people that work hard. We just do. And that's what was expected. Nothing wrong with that. It just served me. But that's not all of who I am. So at 37, it's like, okay, so how do I... Okay, so first I get the rationale. I know who I could be. I know that a lot of conditioning and socializing has taken place. How do I get underneath that? How do I kind of open my space, open up to that infinite awesomeness that's inside of me? And how can I do that with my clients? So what you see up there in the chat box, CourseSelfie.com is a short version of what we do as a professional coach. CourseSelfie is a 10-minute version of having an individual articulate five of their top core values, their life purpose statement, an I am statement that contains two parts to it. One part is their innate beingness, and number two, regardless of age, regardless of role, regardless of what they're doing in their life, from the time that they are born to the time that they die. And the third thing that we get in that 10-minute version is the top five core strengths, or if you will, God-given strengths. What was placed inside of you for you to do your work, to do your real work? And CoreSelfie.com is my gift back to the universe and saying, okay, so here's six processes. The first one is the one that we're talking about right now. It's take you 10 minutes to do. Encourage all of you to do it. You can download it for free. You don't owe me anything. You can use it anywhere and everywhere. Use it with your kids. Use it with your spouse. Use it with your boyfriends, girlfriends, family members, community, church, everybody. And support them to know who they really are. The thing that has shocked me and surprised me is how powerful and accurate that little exercise is. It's a derivative of a two-hour exercise that we teach that we won't get into today. And I have an aptitude for statistics and figures. Again, that's one of my God-given gifts and talents. I just see stuff. And when I started working with this, I did a correlation between the long version, the two-hour version, and this one, 10-minute version, and ask everybody that did it in a classroom or anybody they did it with, to what degree is it correlated with the deeper dive? And it came out to about 70% blended average. 70%. 70% they could do in 10 minutes to find out who they really are deep down inside of them. So I'm going to say just one more thing and then I'll open it up to questions. For me, there's three parts to this journey. Number one is knowing. And this exercise is that first part, knowing. This gives me a glimpse into a microscopic view into who I am as a human being, whether I am living that right now or not. It bypasses the linear brain, which is one of the geniuses behind it. So it for the most part, comes in under the radar of conditioning and socialization. The second part, is actually where the work begins. And that's where, as a coach, it's like, okay, so you know something, now what do you want to do with it? What's next? What do you want to commit to? What options or what steps or what actions do you want to bring, you know, after our session today, right? So the analogy that I used for 20 years is that I knew that I needed and wanted to lose 20 pounds just for my own health. Okay. Did I do anything with that for 20 years? The answer is no. Thank you very much. I like my chocolate cake. And that was okay. That was just okay. Now, I'll say 6 years ago, I don't remember the exact time frame. 6 years ago, went keto, and now all the 20 pounds dropped off. It's like, oh my God, I'm healthier now than I was when I was 37. Honest to God's truth. But the second part is actually doing something with what you know. And again, if I don't know who I really am, thyself, that deep inner spiritual self, then I'm still operating from an erroneous operating system of I'm trying to please my family. I'm trying to please my workspace. I'm trying to please my generation. People that are of this age shouldn't be blank. Well, who wrote that one? Who made that law? Take that, whoop, throw that one out. That doesn't apply to me. Thank you very much. Or whatever else that is coming in from the external. The third component, after knowing and then doing something about it, is acknowledging. Catch yourself or catch your client being their awesome, amazing, fantastic self. Wow, Terry, I recognize that you are still teaching and supporting and being that that model of what this is what a professional coach looks like, acts like, thinks like, services people, services the surrounding areas, volunteers, et cetera, et cetera. Wow. Acknowledging, because human beings forget. They've been smacked upside the head with something, and they go, and then they start doubting themselves. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how smart you are. People forget who they are. And they've been told for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years in my case, here's who you're supposed to be, Peter. And sometimes I slip back into that. Acknowledging reinforces that which I acknowledge. I acknowledge your brilliance. I acknowledge your dedication. I acknowledge your passion. I acknowledge your love of learning. Thank you. I receive that. I open up to receive that. So with that, I'm going to stop talking. Have I struck any chords, any questions, anything that's come up for you? And that's a stat question. So being the assessor that I am, all right, so here's the question I want to ask that's not closed-ended. What did you just hear that was important to you? Yeah, Tara.
I just have to make one comment. So Peter and I were both at an ACTO conference, and for some reason they pulled some of us up to the stage. I can't remember what it was. And people were applauding and da, 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 da. And Peter came up to me afterwards and whispered in my ear, be open to receiving that. And that shifted me. Mm. That's the acknowledgement part you're talking about.
Wow, sure is.
That was only a few years ago, 5 years ago, I think, six. Yeah,
thank
so
you.
I can attest to the importance of that. And I remember that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm looking at small names here. Dahlia, is it? Yes?
I am. I was very, not amazed, but very emotional somehow when you said that coaching is more than that. It is about develop the human being. And then you said that we are talking about the inner core of human spirit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think about people that they go for the training, the coaching training, and they just want to work, you know, they just want work. They don't understand the core thing. And when you said this, it was so precise for me. Mm. Also, thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing that. Yeah. I really believe that coaching is one of the answers. I don't think it's the only answer, but I think it's one of the major answers to solving world issues, world famine, world wars, world unpeace, world wasting of our natural resources, and on and on and on. Because an individual that knows themselves deep down and then starts living that way is frankly a better human being. They're more conscious, they're more aware. There's an old saying in the addiction world that hurt people hurt people. People that are hurt themselves, they have nothing to contribute other than hurting other people. That's what they know. The corollary to that in my world is awesome, fantastic human beings can't help but be awesome, fantastic parents, mates, corporate owners, entrepreneurs, doctors, nurses, etc. Because that's what they have to contribute. Yeah. What else came up for any of you?
Uh, Thank you, Peter. Most of the things I've heard are very important. And some of them jump up to my mind to make one first question.
Okay.
Do you believe there is a philosophy of life within coaching?
I believe there's a philosophy of life in coaching.
Within?
There certainly is within my coaching and my world of coaching and my concept of coaching. I don't claim to have the only true philosophy, if you will. Otherwise, we get into, you know, my God is superior to your God, and yeah, but I have more gods than you, and just by nature, that's going to be more, et cetera. So I don't get into that. I see more and more the philosophy coming through the ICF in terms of professionalism. I like that. I see a philosophy of human development. I like that a lot. I hear a philosophy that coaching is going to be, and already is starting to show, being an integral part of a thriving society. I just love that statement. I love that statement. It's not mine. I forget who coined that back, I don't know, 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. But we're starting to see that. We're starting to see that in corporations. We're starting to see that in school systems. We're starting to see that in prison systems. We're starting to see that in civic organizations. We're starting to see that in nonprofits and NGOs around the world. When coaching culture comes in that honors the human being as an individual and supports that individual to be even more of a human being and more of an individual and not a clone of, you know, who's supposed to be successful in this organization. That speaks directly to diversity, inclusion, justice, all of that. I love those strains of philosophy that's coming into coaching. So I don't know if that's your definition of philosophy or not, but I think those are very positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in that context, in which you have been emphasizing the importance of knowing who we are, who each one of us is. You also said that 99% of the people don't know who they are.
I still hold to that.
And that working on one's development, without knowing who you are, it was, you used the word erroneous.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sharpening my skills in areas that I have no business of doing. I could have taken all the financial courses at Harvard, Wharton, London School of Business, Hyderabad master's degree in business, in finance, and I would still be a lousy financier.
Mm-hmm.
So again, coming back to who's my original self? Who's my core self? Who's my most brilliant self that my creator endowed me with? Do I know those components? Do I know those skills that he put in place within me? And how am I developing those things? I have the gift of compassion. What am I doing to develop even more of my compassion?
Mm-hmm.
I got the gift of taking complex theories and simplifying them so people can understand them. How can I do that better? So is the starting point for me. Know thyself, not self. I have so many selves that got confusing at 37. I went to all the philosophers. I got an incredible education from the Jesuits way back when. Know yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, be yourself. Everybody else is taken, right? Oscar Wilde. All right, so I got that. All I got all of those quips. But who the hell is self? What self are you talking about? I was lost. There was no path for me. There was no breadcrumbs that I could find and say, other than, you know, okay, so go to the Himalayas and meet with somebody in a cave and maybe enlightenment will come through. It was the closest that I got to a perception of how to find it. I didn't do that, by the way. But it was frustrating for me. So I think that's one of the reasons why God put me here and said, okay, Peter, you're going to help decipher this. You're going to be the Rosetta Stone for people that will be able to, are ready to know themselves or rediscover themselves. Because it's already there. It's not like you're going to have to go someplace to find it other than inside. But you can do it sitting exactly where you are right now in the world. Find out what that is. Articulate that. Write it down. Piece of paper. The other thing that's interesting about this, that in my work that I've done, I've been doing this for 25 years now. There's no two alike. Oh, what a surprise. Because I'm a unique human being. I'm one with spirit. Yes, I believe that. Categorically, I believe that. But I am a unique human being. There is nobody else like me on the planet. And I would submit the same thing is true for every other of my brothers, sisters, they, thems, that don't, right, that are in the world. They are also unique. So find out that uniqueness and be that. Work on that. Work on those gifts, talents. Work on the values. Am I being who I was designed to be? I'll stop talking now.
The question is that if I don't know yet, what is a better place than not knowing to start my own discovery?
CourseSelfie.com.
Yeah, but what strikes me is the word erroneous, because all of us have started our search, our discovery.
Yeah.
Know who we are. Maybe we all have the same impression that knowing who I am is just a matter of degree.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the erroneous limit? Where is the right limit to start?
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, it's here's what I'd say to that, is that there's still some things that are old programming that I'm driven by.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use the analogy of computers. If you're trying to run this class right now, I'm looking at Zoom and I'm looking at faces presumably from around the world or, you know, in different locations. They're all coming through in color. They're all live. I can see your movement. I can see your eyes. I can see your background. Now, can this program run on MS-DOS that came out in 1982? No, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
So what's had to happen for this to take place is the operating system of my laptop here, my computer, has had to been upgraded how many times between then and now for this to take place? What I believe is a human system is that there are still code inside of Peter Redding that says, I think you're getting lazy, Peter. You haven't done anything really important here for the last 3 days. And for, I think, a lot of people, that ends up being what they think is hardwired. That's who I am. And I would counter that and say, is it? Is it really? Or is that just a buffer that's saying, yeah, I have to keep busy. And then as a client, I might even challenge my client and say, okay, so is that the busyness that you want to do for the next week or the next year or the next 10 years? I'm not sure. Okay. Then I can use the information that I received from them through the exercise of that 10 minutes that we talked about earlier. Look at your life purpose. I'll just say mine out loud so you get a feeling of what I'm talking about for life purpose. I am the exquisite and playful orchestration of my oneness with spirit that connects with my unique humanness to create a bodacious flourishing of life. Okay, that's Peter Rudding's life purpose statement. Hadn't changed one word in 26 years. If I look at that statement on the things that I did earlier than when I was 37 years old, when I felt really, really, really good about myself, I was congruent with that statement, even though I didn't have it articulated. At this stage of life, when I get off track and things start getting rocky or confusing or, you know, I get angry or I get upset or whatever, I go back to that statement and say, to what degree am I congruently living that life purpose? Hmm. Gotten off of it a little bit, maybe 70% instead of my 85 or 90%. So this is like the internal GPS, true north. And my question keeps coming back to my client is, to what degree are you aligned with who you were designed to be? Mm. And they answer it for themselves. I don't tell them. So I don't know if anybody, maybe the Dalai Lama, maybe the Pope, I can't think of too many other people right now that are totally congruent living who they were meant to be, created to be. And maybe not even them because they're still human. And there's a lot of good things that my parents left me as gifts that I thank you, God. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa. They served. Yeah. Who else hasn't talked? Who else has a question that Peter, I don't believe any of this.
Peter, when you said the life, Peter, hi.
Sorry. Hi. Hello.
Hi. When you spoke about the life purpose, you, yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but everyone here nodded with their head, you know, because this is the first meeting after the explore that we do with the client. We do the life purpose. And my life purpose is the same from 2009. Yeah. And it's amazing, right? Oh, sorry, the dog is jumping. So it's amazing when you know it, although sometimes you don't know exactly how it looks like.
Yeah.
It's there and it served me a lot.
Yeah.
Really. So thank you.
Super, super. Yeah, it's like how can we coach without having that information about the client, and even more so, how can the client be coached if they don't know that for themselves? Because then everything that I do or try to do with a client anchors them to something that they're not. Anchors them to something that they are still holding on to because I'm supposed to be a good little girl that behaves, gets married at, you know, before 30, has two kids, has a station wagon back in my day or an SUV nowadays, blah, blah, blah. I'm not condemning that lifestyle. I'm just saying, how conscious are you of your own decision making? Which I think is all about coaching. Terry.
In your process, do you support people to be aware of how their body expresses purposefulness beyond the words and actions? Do they have a physical place of purpose?
That's a great question. I don't emphasize the physicality of it. I do emphasize the mentality of it, the consciousness of it. We also support our coaches that we train in terms of how do you access it? And some do it through music, some do it chanting, some incense, some walking in nature, some being with their grandkids. And there's a thousand different ways that that can happen. But in terms of their own physical posture, I don't emphasize that.
I wasn't thinking so much as posture as actually located in chakra or chakras. We do that in the purpose meeting. Once we have an experience of it, we say, where are you feeling that? What is moving? Where's the energy going?
I love that. I'm going to borrow that starting today.
Please. No, you have to. That's why I mentioned it.
Thank you.
I got it from Charles Perry, who was a performance coach, the best windsurfing instructor on the planet and the only one the Swiss would allow to train their ski jumpers for the Olympics, who was not Swiss.
Wow.
And I worked with him for one day a month at the beginning of my coaching career, and he brought that to me, and I can definitely recommend it.
Thank you, Charles. Is it Deborah? Yeah.
What have you had clients who just don't know their own knowing, for lack of a better way to say it? And what do you do?
As a practice, I support all of our coaches to do a foundation session. We call it a foundation session. And it's for three purposes. One is to get to know the client. Why are they here? What do they want to accomplish? Number two is for the client to get to know themselves better and articulate that, like we've talked about extensively now. And the third one is to build trust and intimacy. It's kind of lays the foundation of, this is confidential. It doesn't go beyond my notes. In fact, my notes, if you want me to shred them after every session, I will do that. If you want me to send them to you at the end of the year, I'll do that. So it lays the foundation and the structure down for coaching. But a huge part of that is having a client articulate that sense of self. And the only thing I say ahead of time, by the way, because I don't tell them that we're going to get to their life purpose, because if I did, then their sphincter goes.
Right.
And I've gone to the Himalayas. I've done the Spanish Trail. I've done this, that, and the other thing. I meditate every morning. There's no way that you're going to get that, basically. They discount it. So all I say ahead of time is, we're going to go through a really interesting self-discovery process that will help me to know you better and be able to coach you more effectively, and hopefully for you to know yourself better, period. If they ask, so what is this? You're not going to put me down and have me sleep or anything or meditate? No. It's just real simple. And we do take them through a visualization, and sometimes they don't like visualizations. So I said, that's fine. I'll just ask you questions. If it supports you to close your eyes to concentrate more fully, I invite you to do that. Otherwise, you can keep them open. But I don't tell them intentionally. I tell them only afterwards what they have rediscovered and written down on a piece of paper.
Wow. Because I feel that some people are really, when you said life purpose, they are, please don't go there. Let's continue with the coaching. Start with this coaching. We want to do the practical thing, and please don't go. And when they start to explore things, then they understand. Sometimes only on the third meeting or the fifth meeting. Yeah. I had a client one time that he was so confused and he asked to work on that. And then after it was short meeting. And then after two meetings, he said, it's too much. And he went.
Yeah.
And he sent me a message before, I think, 10 days that he would like to ask my permission to come back because he really wanted to continue. So it was a couple of months that he was there, still confused. And it was very, yeah.
Well, it speaks highly of your space that you created for him to do it when he was ready to do it. And so congratulations. That's, you know, all of us are ambassadors of this new thing called coaching. And that is being an ambassador of coaching. That's perfectly okay. I respect your journey. And 2-3 months later, oh, yes, I remember for you. You're certainly welcome to come back. Yeah, so thank you for that. Yeah, this is hard work. this is hard work, and not everybody's ready for it. And I see Dolly's been patiently waiting with a hand up, and then we'll follow it up with Lourdes.
Yeah, I'm patient because it's very interesting what you just said. Anyway, I wonder, when you coach a person, and you have this, I believe we call this, this agenda that you said 99% they don't know who they are. So how do you raise the, no, it's not an agenda, right? It's, you know, but.
That's all right. You're gone.
Yeah. But how do you raise their awareness? Or let's work on that knowing who you are. I mean, we do that in a lot of ways, but we don't emphasize this. We emphasize what the client wants to achieve and who he is, so he would be able to achieve it. Okay.
Right. Okay. So two things. Number one is the foundation session is my agenda.
It's
my agenda. I give them the forms to fill out. I tell them what, you know, it's going to be 2 hours. I tell them ahead of time, at least, after this is, whether you're doing it during the daytime at work or someplace else, don't plan any meetings with family or organizational for at least an hour afterwards so you can process what we do for the 2 hours. It's all my agenda. Right? Now, once we get started, the agenda gets turned over to him or her. What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to accomplish? How will you know you've accomplished that? We get into all the PCC markers here, which I've memorized. That's my second language, by the way. PCC markers is my second language. But it's in the backdrop of, okay, so you have 3 options in front of you. Company's talking about moving you to Singapore or to Tokyo or to Duluth. Okay. So how did those 3 options, or let's take better options. Okay. One is to get promoted to senior VP. One is to start my own business, leave the corporate rat race and start my own rat race as an entrepreneur or something else. I take those options and say, okay, so if you take those 3 options, option 1, to what degree would you be living your life purpose? 20%, 40%, 60%, 80%, whatever, you decide. Okay, and the second option, to what degree would you be living your life purpose? I do the same thing. To what degree will you be able to employ, put to work, the doingness of your core strengths? Because with core strengths comes passion, excitement. I love doing this. You don't have to pay me to do it. I'm going to do it. They're going to be more effective. So we go through all of that. Now, many, many times, option A is clearly the winner in terms of core self. It's 99%. But they have to choose B because B pays twice as much money. And they have two kids coming up to university years, and that says tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars now. I have to do B. Okay. I'm not the judge sitting here that says you have to do A. My job as a coach is to raise a level of awareness and consciousness and have the client make the decision. Devoid of my, what I would like to see them do. Devoid of any judgment at all on my part. I have to let go of all of that. But now I use these tools to support them to know themselves and to make better decisions.
Peter, I have to interrupt. We have 2 or 3 minutes left, so
oh my God, it went too fast. I hope that helps. I hope that helps. And we never got to Lourdes. So Lourdes, do you have a question that I can answer shortly?
No.
No. I'm so sorry.
I've understood something more about acknowledging.
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you. I don't have the time to explain it. I think it's made lots of connections with coaching competencies and situations with different Beautiful. Clients.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
Oops.
Terry, back to you. Yeah, you got last word here.
Okay. Thank you for bringing us to a core level of questioning and exploring today, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you all for being here and allowing yourself in that journey to gain value. I know everybody does in our group. So
yeah, it feels we can do it another time. Again.
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love to be back with you. Terry, thank you for the opportunity. God bless. Namaste to all of you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.